Hi, this is Gordon Deal. The award-winning Wall Street Journal This Morning starts right after this.
Hi, I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business called Podlexing, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. With so many job boards out there, how can you know which one will produce the best talent? Realistically, to fill the position fast and with the perfect candidate, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can do it with a single click with ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com lets you post to more than 40 job sites at once. ZipRecruiter.com also posts your job on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Just post once and watch the qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. You can screen applicants, rate them, and hire the right people fast. Try ZipRecruiter free right now and find out why it's been used by over 100,000 businesses. And right now, listeners of this program can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
Live from the newsroom of the Wall Street Journal, this is the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news with Gordon Deal.
Critical hours for the VA secretary. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Gina Cervetti. Friday, May 30th, glad you're with us. Here's what's up this hour.
President Obama could soon decide the fate of Eric Shinseki, who today will submit an internal audit of his agency. Meanwhile, Mr. Shinseki continues losing support.
A record windfall could await L.A. Clippers owner Donald Sterling. Hear who's willing to pony up $2 billion for the NBA franchise.
The small but growing trend of running naked. It's not exactly what it sounds like. We'll have details later in the hour.
And more of the world's population is getting fat.
2.1 billion people, which is about 29% of the world's population, were either overweight or obese in 2013. 62% of them, of the obese, actually live in developing countries. So this is really becoming a problem for the developing world, as well as the developed world.
Wall Street Journal reporter Betsy McKay on a new study about the planet's growing waistline. She's here in about 20 minutes. Former Microsoft boss Steve Ballmer will buy the LA Clippers. He's bid a whopping $2 billion for the team, an offer that would triple the record for an NBA franchise. Shelley Sterling, wife of embattled Clippers owner Donald Sterling, announced she had signed a binding contract for the sale. But Mr. Sterling, who's under pressure to sell by the NBA for racist comments that became public last month, has not yet decided whether he'll sell the team or fight to keep it. More now from the Wall Street Journal This Morning's Dan Loney.
Mrs. Sterling is the one running the process to sell the team. She and Mr. Sterling each own half the team through a trust they share. Mrs. Sterling has received a couple of other offers in addition to Mr. Ballmer's. They include a $1.6 billion bid from a group headed by entertainment mogul David Guffin that also includes Oprah Winfrey, as well as a $1.2 billion offer from billionaires Anthony Ressler and Bruce Karsh, who were joined by former NBA star Grant Hill. If the Sterlings don't sell on their own, the NBA has said it will move forward with plans to strip them of the team if there isn't a deal in place by June 3rd. Mr. Sterling bought the team in 1981 for $12.5 million. Gordon?
Thanks, Dan. Initially, by the way, Mr. Sterling agreed to allow his wife to sell the team, but later changed his mind. Mr. Ballmer, who owns Microsoft stock valued at more than $13 billion, has twice been among a group that tried to buy an NBA team and move it to Seattle, where he has long lived. Mr. Ballmer, though, said earlier that if he made a bid for the Clippers, he would not move that team. Should be an interesting day for the embattled Veterans Affairs Secretary, Eric Shinseki. He meets with President Obama today to submit an internal audit of the VA. In addition, he's expected to address the current crisis at his agency when he speaks to the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans this morning. This after meeting with lawmakers to explain how he's working to make changes. How about the damning statement, by the way, from California Congressman Duncan Hunter?
I got two surgeries that I've had from my active duty time overseas. I did two tours in Iraq and one in Afghanistan. And I intentionally went to private health care. I chose to not go to the VA because the VA does not work.
Ouch. More on the story now from Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling, who's with us on the T-Mobile hotline. Ben, what's the latest here?
there's a growing number of lawmakers, both Republicans and now a steadily growing number of Democrats who are calling on Mr. Shinseki to step down from his position as Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. There was a withering report that came out. It was a preliminary report from the Office of the Inspector General at the VA that detailed systemic problems with scheduling malfeasance at the VA, not just at the Phoenix Hospital, which has been under scrutiny since mid-April, but across the entire VA. And it has, some think it has sort of turned a political tide for Mr. Shinseki. As soon as that came out, the Inspector General report, Senator John McCain came out seeking Mr. Shinseki's resignation, as well as a couple other prominent voices from the Hill.
How come, unlike many other issues, it looks more and more like Democrats are echoing Republicans' calls for Shinseki's resignation?
It looks like it could be because this Inspector General report was worse than they expected. I mean, it identified some deep-seated problems that have been occurring for a while with scheduling issues at this one particular VA facility, and then the Inspector General has reviews occurring or scheduled to occur at 42 separate locations, 42 separate hospitals, and it could involve civil and criminal wrongdoing. They've contacted the Department of Justice to help with looking into those sorts of problems. It's just a widespread issue.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling. Is it possible for Mr. Shinseki to turn things around at this point?
Well, he still has the support of the majority of major veterans organizations out there. The largest veterans organization in the United States, the American Legion, has been calling on him to resign for a few weeks now. But the other major veterans organizations have not. They still support him. They say that a few of them who were actually in a meeting with Mr. Shinseki on Thursday afternoon said that by getting rid of the secretary, all it will do is divert attention from the problem that's there. He knows the system. He has been the secretary since 2009. He's familiar with the problems and has the leadership ability to fix it. So a number of them are saying, leave him there, let him fix what the issues are, and then we'll go on from there. So a number of people think if getting rid of the secretary will just create a new problem at the VA.
Thanks, Ben. Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Kessling from Washington. 13 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. This portion of the program is brought to you by GoToMeeting. Meetings are essential to the way we work. They're an opportunity to share ideas and problem solve. But if your team is spread out in different locations, coming together can be an impossible task unless you use Citrix GoToMeeting, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online from anywhere at any time. It's so easy. Sign up for GoToMeeting from your computer or mobile device and launch your first meeting in seconds. Then, no matter where you are, you'll be instantly connected to your team. Share your screen to collaborate on documents, spreadsheets, and presentations in real time. And just turn on your webcams to see each other face-to-face in HD video. It's just like meeting in person, even when you're miles apart. GoToMeeting will save you time and money, making you more productive. Start hosting your own face-to-face meetings today by signing up for your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code WSJ. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code WSJ. Exactly how problematic is the hacking of American companies or the U.S. government? Wall Street Journal reporter Danny Yadrin has an in-depth look at China's complex internet spying capabilities. Danny, what have you uncovered?
Chinese internet espionage goes much deeper and is much more widely dispersed than the five Chinese nationals that the Justice Department indicted last week. Instead of this all being run out of the Chinese military, there's actually sort of a sprawling hacking industrial complex in China in which a lot of this work is done by freelancers, hackers for hire, or people working for very small defense contractors that are spread across the country. But, you know, on some level, this does make it a little bit harder for China to control. You know, rather than, you know, all of this being conducted out of a single Chinese military unit where, you know, a general can give orders or make people change behavior. If this is spread out as sort of freelancers across the country, it makes it a little harder to clamp down on.
How does this affect the way the U.S. fights overseas hackers?
To a certain extent, it's something that can come up in negotiations, but some of the former U.S. officials I've spoken to said this is a frustration that's come up in meetings where Chinese officials will say, look, we can't control what we, don't control. To be clear, that's not a situation that's unique to China. I mean, this is an issue with the internet, worldwide. A lot of people have these skills, whether they're, in the U.S., in China, in Eastern Europe. They're some of the most skilled people. And, a lot of these people aren't working for any, directly for any particular nation state and are free to sort of peddle these skills as they see fit.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Danny Yadrin. Is there a big market for people with those kind of hacking skills?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's, by all evidence so far, the Target breach was conducted by people acting as, cyber criminals.
Have officials known that the underground hacking community was so large overseas?
It's been known for a while that the, that global hacking market is pretty large. But this is definitely, at the very least in China, the situation is more diffuse than maybe previously realized.
Right. Thanks, Danny. Wall Street Journal reporter Danny Yadrin, who's based in Washington. 20 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is here. She has America's first news.
Good morning. Support for embattled Veterans Affairs Secretary Eric Shinseki is eroding, especially among congressional Democrats facing re-election. President Barack Obama is expected to decide what's next after Shinseki submits an internal audit of the VA, expected today.
When it comes to the current situation, the inquiries and the investigations and some of the allegations, the president wants to see the results of these reports, and he, as you know, made clear that he believes there ought to be accountability once we establish all the facts.
White House spokesman Jay Carney. Today, Shinseki addresses the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans amid allegations of misconduct and delayed care at VA facilities. There's a deal to sell the L.A. Clippers, but will owner Donald Sterling, under fire for racist comments, let go without a fight? Co-owner wife Shelley Sterling says she signed a contract to sell the NBA team to former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer for $2 billion. A troubling new high for U.S. measles cases. Health officials say that this year there has been a total of 288 cases in 18 states, the most at this point in the year since 1994. The largest cluster is in Ohio, sparked by two people who contracted measles during an aid visit to the Philippines. Officials say most cases have been linked to foreign trips by unvaccinated people. Another auto recall, but this time it's not General Motors, it's Ford. The action covers just over a million Explorers, Escapes, and Mariners, with model years ranging from 2008 to 2013. The company says a power steering issue could disable that function and that it is aware of several accidents and injuries. U.S. stock futures little on the flat side this morning after another new record high for the S&P 500. It added 10 points yesterday. The Dow gained almost 66. The Nasdaq close to 23. This despite the economy contracting for the first time in about 3 years. Economist Bob Bruska says that report was not all bad.
Most of the weakness is in inventory, so you can kind of set that aside. You already think in terms of real final sales growing at a 0.6% annual rate, and that's still growth. It's weaker than it was, but it's growth, and that's a positive thing looking forward.
Total jobless claims fell substantially last week. Pending home sales posted their second straight increase. Google has unveiled a new website to help it handle European requests from residents asserting their new right to be forgotten on the web. This month, Europe's top court said people can have Google and other search engines remove links to certain content that pertains to individuals.
So, and Google makes the final call here, I believe, which makes them sort of the judge of free speech and privacy at the same time.
Yeah, well, they have created a committee to assess these requests, and it will only apply to search results that pop up in the EU.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's a big ruling.
Yeah, no question. Can create extra work to a certain extent. They have to judge what's valid in the public interest, I guess.
That's what they're saying. Yeah. They're balancing a person's right to privacy versus the public's right to know.
Yeah. All right, this will be one to watch. Thanks, Gina. 23 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
How easy is getting unlimited data outside the U.S. with T-Mobile? Just one step. Turn on your phone. Because with T-Mobile, unlimited global data in over 100 countries is automatically included in your plan at no extra charge. Sounds simple? It is simple. It's the Simple Choice for Business plan, only at T-Mobile.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobytes per second. No tethering. See T-Mobile.com for full feature terms and included destinations.
Glad you're with us. It appears we are fat and getting fatter. A new report says the obesity epidemic has gone global. Wall Street Journal reporter Betsy McKay says the prevalence of overweight and obese people rose sharply for adults and children between 1980 and 2013. Betsy, take us through the new findings.
Well, this is a story about a study that came out from the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington. They are doing a big project in studying the global burden of disease, and this is the most comprehensive look to date at the extent of the obesity epidemic outside the United States, I mean globally. We know a lot about it in the U.S. We've written about it. It's been measured. But, you know, there hasn't been a lot of measurement of it on a global basis. And it's pretty serious. 2.1 billion people, which is about 29% of the world's population, were either overweight or obese in 2013. And, you know, 62% of them, of the obese, actually live in developing countries. So this is really becoming a problem for the developing world as well as the developed world.
I understand this is a stark contrast to what we saw back in 1980.
Yeah. You know, in 1980, obesity was, to the extent that it existed, was a problem in, you know, North America, Europe, in wealthier, more prosperous countries. Now, the rates are still highest and the numbers are very high in the U.S. I mean, the U.S. is the heaviest country in the world still. But it's growing in the developing world, and that's and in some countries, like in the Pacific Islands, you know, more than 50% of men and women are obese.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Betsy McKay. Is this 29% rate expected to grow moving forward?
Well, that's the question. It's not slowing down in the developing world. It has slowed down in the U.S. and, you know, other developed countries. But it's still growing. I mean, the developing world is behind us in that respect. And so it's continuing to grow now. It's going to take a lot of effort to stop it. So in most all probability, it will continue to increase in the coming years.
Thanks, Betsy. Wall Street Journal reporter Betsy McKay, who's based in Atlanta. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. And by the way, remember you can follow the Wall Street Journal this morning on Twitter, Facebook, and now TuneIn. Join the thousands already following us on the new TuneIn app and TuneIn.com.
We help farmers make the best use of their land, which means healthier crops, higher yields, and less harvesting hours, which is good news for a growing population. And good news for the environment. BASF, the chemical company.
A smartphone is a pretty harmless device, unless you take one outside the U.S. without T-Mobile. Binging quietly on emails and GPS coordinates, it might run your data tab into the thousands. Smart business travelers choose T-Mobile's Simple Choice for Business plan, with unlimited global data in over 100 countries at no extra charge.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobytes per second. No tethering. See T-Mobile.com for full feature terms and included destinations.
Powered by the most trusted name in journalism, you're listening to the Wall Street Journal This Morning, America's first news.
Thanks for being with us on this Friday, May 30th. Gordon Deal alongside Gina Cervetti. And coming up this half hour, eroding support for VA Secretary Eric Shinseki, who faces an important day ahead of him today. Plus, on a lighter note, how to run naked and feel good about it. We'll have that report in about 20 minutes. Is it time to panic? The Commerce Department says the U.S. economy contracted at a 1% seasonally adjusted annual pace in the first 3 months of the year. That essentially means minus 1% growth. Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Portlock in Washington says that's unusual. Sarah, explain this.
Sure. So the GDP contracted at a 1% annual pace in the first quarter of this year. It's a rare thing. It's only happened about a handful of times to actually contract outside of a recession dating back to 1947, which is when the Commerce Department first has this data available. The economy contracted only once before since the Great Recession earlier in the 2000s. But many economists are brushing off this first quarter figuring that it's most probably due to weather or a combination of factors that don't have too many people too concerned for economic growth going forward.
No, too many people are not concerned about contracting at 1%?
No, the quote I got from one Northwestern economist was, quote, "Nobody thinks there's any significance of the first quarter being negative." And he is a guy on the committee of the National Bureau of Economic Research, which is largely considered to be the arbiter of recessions.
Wow.
So we're probably not in a recession right now.
Okay. So everybody's comfortable that the winter did all this damage, basically.
Well, the cold weather kept people at home instead of going out and shopping. Consumer spending is about 2/3 of economic growth. So if people aren't buying anything, right, the economy is not necessarily going to grow as much. It kept construction sites closed, which was evident looking in the sort of underlying figures of the report this morning. Residential construction appeared to have taken a slight hit, and it kept kept things like airports closed and transportation hubs affected, and that kept spending down. That kept growth down.
So, are there reasonable signs, I guess, that are happening now or that are projected in the future that have these folks not that concerned?
At least one forecasting firm, Macroeconomic Advisors, is expecting a 3.8% growth rate for the second quarter, so that would certainly put the first half of this year in positive territory. It's not going to mean that the economy is, blowing out of the water or anything right now, but at least it gets it back into positive territory.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Portlock in Washington about GDP contracting at a 1% annual rate in the first quarter. So you mentioned some of the industries that took a hit, like home construction, for example. Were there others that were hit especially hard by a really cold winter?
They do have it broken down at least into services and goods. So consumer spending, which, as I said earlier, accounts for 2/3 of output, did actually grow at a 3.1% pace, which was ever so slightly higher than the first estimate of this report a month ago. But it was mostly on services, which are things like haircuts, and whereas actually buying physical goods, physical things, cars, refrigerators, clothes, only rose at a much more modest pace.
Thanks, Sarah. Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Portlock from Washington. 22 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Glad you're with us on this Friday. This portion of the program is brought to you by GoToMeeting. Meetings are essential to the way we work. They're an opportunity to share ideas and problem solve. But if your team is spread out in different locations, coming together can be an impossible task unless you use Citrix GoToMeeting, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate online from anywhere at any time. It's so easy. Sign up for GoToMeeting from your computer or mobile device and launch your first meeting in seconds. Then, no matter where you are, you'll be instantly connected to your team. Share your screen to collaborate on documents, spreadsheets, and presentations in real time. And just turn on your webcams to see each other face-to-face in HD video. It's just like meeting in person, even when you're miles apart. GoToMeeting will save you time and money, making you more productive. Start hosting your own face-to-face meetings today by signing up for your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code WSJ. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code WSJ. Well, there's no shortage of advice out there on how to save money, and with technology, it's easier to find deals than ever. But are some of your favorite money-saving tips actually hurting your bottom line in the long run? Answers from the Wall Street Journal this morning's Mike Gavin.
Well, Gordon, Natasha Burton at DailyWorth.com put together this list of money-saving habits that could actually be costing us money. The first one, buying something just because it's on sale. It seems like everything is on sale these days, but just because something is labeled sale doesn't mean it's necessarily a good deal or that we even needed that item in the first place. Also, driving out of the way just to use a coupon. Taking a one-hour round trip to a retail store to save $5 on printer ink just isn't a good use of your time or gas money for that matter. Another one, buying in bulk. Make sure you pay attention to the per ounce price before buying 17 pounds of pasta at the warehouse club, not to mention the expiration date. Now, here's a lot of one that a lot of us are still doing, putting our money into a savings account. And that was a good idea when we were kids and savings accounts actually paid interest. But now you're better off putting at least some of your money into a brokerage account and investing in some low-risk funds. And here's another one that gets a lot of us, buying the cheapest of everything. It's easier than ever to compare prices side by side to find the cheapest model of something. But when it comes to certain items like tools, for example, it often makes more sense to pay a little more upfront for better quality tools that won't have to be replaced so quickly.
Yeah, but you feel good when you leave the store that day.
Sure you do. And then a month later, when you're sitting there with plastic pieces all over the place, you're not happy. The one that gets me, and it I'm reminded of it every month, is the putting money into a savings account. You know, yes. We have a traditional savings account, and it's hilarious when my wife and I do our bills and total up our accounts and balance our accounts every month, and we see like that 13 cents in interest we got, or the 22 cents in interest that we got.
You get that much? What bank do you use?
Yeah, I probably shouldn't put that out there.
Yeah, that is kind of sickening, actually. And I like the fact that it's just like the rich man's approach he gave us there. You know, don't put money in savings accounts. Just put it in an investment account. Yeah, because I have that much cash lying around, right? Now, let me just sock away this extra $5,000 I have lying around. Take it out of the savings account.
That is true.
Yeah.
There are some limitations on that.
Thank you, Mike. 16 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning.
We help farmers make the best use of their land, which means healthier crops, higher yields, and less harvesting hours, which is good news for a growing population and good news for the environment. BASF, the chemical company.
Thanks for being with us. Good Friday morning. Time for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Grainger. Get what you need when you need it. Call, click, or stop by today. Get it? Got it? Good. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. How's your digital footprint as an entrepreneur? Many small business owners say LinkedIn is the best social media tool for increasing sales. Here's the Wall Street Journal's Joe Connolly.
LinkedIn counselor Mark Halpert described how to best use LinkedIn.
Show them your value proposition. Show them why you. If you've pasted your resume onto LinkedIn, you've missed a gigantic opportunity to talk about where you came from, but who you are today, and where you're going in the future. It's organic. You write it. No one can post anything to it unless you have approved it. It's all from your heart. If you can't express yourself, find somebody else who can help you express yourself.
And at a recent business owners meeting, somebody else said, there's a different way of making contacts in person at events. You can't just think of networking as running around shaking hands. Networking, Matt Breimer of General Assembly said, has to be redefined.
Meeting someone, pitching them, trading business cards, and then leaving, you know, that's not relationship building. That's not building social relationships. Pretty much all of our relationships and all of our partnerships that we've done with General Assembly over the last few years haven't been through just cold calls or cold emails or cold pitches, but they've been through introductions from people who know each other and can vouch for each other.
He said the best events are where people let their guard down and talk. Real partnerships are created when people have relationships that they've built over a long period of time. That's just how it is. I'm Joe Connolly for the Wall Street Journal.
Thank you, Joe. It's 11 minutes now before the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Gina Cervetti is back. She has America's first news.
And good morning. Today brings updates on our spending and incomes, along with a new read on consumer sentiment. In the meanwhile, U.S. stock futures are flat to a little bit negative after another new record high for the S&P 500. It gained about 10 points, and this came despite that weak first quarter reading on the economy.
Everyone had already discounted the bad winter, and everyone knows that the comparison data is going to improve.
Market strategist Ken Tower, based in the New York City area. The Dow was up almost 66. The Nasdaq added close to 23. Volume remained relatively low. Overseas today, Asian markets were narrowly mixed. U.S. authorities are pushing the French bank BNP Paribas to pay more than $10 billion to end a criminal probe into allegations that it evaded U.S. sanctions. A settlement of that size, along with the guilty plea that prosecutors are seeking, would approach the largest penalty levied by the U.S. on a bank, that $13 billion deal with J.P. Morgan Chase. If you're a tanning bed user, then you'll start to notice new black box safety warnings by late next year. The FDA's required labels will state that such devices should not be used by people under age 18 because of increased skin cancer risks. Dish Network says it will accept your bitcoins as payment, becoming the largest known company to say that it will take that virtual currency. Other business entities have made similar moves, including the online retailer Overstock, even after a string of bitcoin scandals. The New York Rangers are headed to the first Stanley Cup Finals appearance in two decades after the Rangers beat the Montreal Canadiens last night at Madison Square Garden. And for the first time since 1962, the Scripps Spelling Bee has co-champs. Anson Sojo of Fort Worth, Texas, shares the spelling crown with Sriram Hathwar of Painted Post, New York. Clearly, taking part in the Bee can be both exciting and frustrating, as heard earlier when contestant Jacob Williamson met his match.
Kabara Goya.
Kabara Goya. I know it. I know it. I totally know it.
But he didn't know it. And as far as having a tie, the rules say that once three contestants remain, the contest turns to a championship list of 25 words. If they run through those before there's a winner, then a tie is declared. Now imagine standing on a glass enclosure some 1,300 feet above ground and watching as that enclosure begins to crack. It happened inside one of four glass enclosures at Chicago's Willis Tower, closing all four to the public temporarily. Spokesman said it was only the scratch-resistant layer of the glass that cracked, not the actual structure.
Okay.
You can imagine the terror in the hearts of everybody that was out there.
Holy smoke.
I would not want to be standing there when that happened, Gordon, despite the fact that it was just the scratch-resistant layer.
How about we just go get a sandwich on the ground floor cafe, all right?
I like that.
Jeez.
Feet planted firmly on the ground.
8 minutes now in front of the hour on the Wall Street Journal this morning. Ever think you're being weighed down when you go running? Try running naked. Some think it's controversial. Others find the primitive approach to be refreshing. Wall Street Journal sports columnist Jason Gay has been doing it lately, and rarely anybody gives him a second look. By naked, we mean running without all your fancy electronics. Jason, what are you up to?
Oh, you're giving it away right at the top, Gordon, that we're not actually talking about streaking, like some sort of like return of actual nude running.
Like an animal. That was the second half of my line of questions.
Yeah, we're talking about not naked running. We're talking about going tech naked. Anybody who's exercised recently knows that there's an incredible number of products and gadgets that are available to you. It's not uncommon to see people running out there with smartphones, headphones, GPS, fitness trackers, virtual coaches. They look like robots out there, Gordon, and I was one of them. And I was realizing that it was making me miserable. All the things I was trying to actually get away from, I was dragging along on the run with me. Gordon, now when I go for a run, I don't take anything with me. I actually write a note, handwritten, telling my wife how long I'm going to be gone and where I'm going. And that's all I do, and I just get out there, and I go for my run, and I love it. You know, I'm not a great runner. I'm very slow, but I just feel much more connected to the moment. I see things, feel my heartbeat. I witness, or I sort of pay attention to my breathing. I feel much more connected to the experience, and I know I'm not alone in this. I think this is a growing thing.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal sports writer Jason Gay. He's got a piece about how to run naked and love it, and he's talking about getting rid of all the technology you might normally run with. But Jason, your technology will not be able to brag about your 519 mile on Facebook now.
Well, this is the thing. You're absolutely right that in addition to the fact that we have all this virtual coaching type technology, there's also the idea of sharing one's running experience on social media. I think we have to sort of back up for a second and start to pay attention to why it is that we run, why we do these kinds of things.
Thanks, Jason. Wall Street Journal sports columnist Jason Gay. He finishes his piece by saying, "For now, I'm enjoying the sound of the pavement beneath my feet and hearing my body talk to me, even if it's only telling me I am slow. It's a piece that no device can offer, and it reminds me why I love to run in the first place. In fact," he says, "when I get home, I might not even tweet about it." For Gina Cervetti, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning.
How easy is getting unlimited data outside the U.S. with T-Mobile? Just one step.
turn on your phone. Because with T-Mobile, unlimited global data in over 100 countries is automatically included in your plan at no extra charge. Sounds simple? It is simple. It's the Simple Choice for Business plan, only at T-Mobile.
Qualifying service and capable device required. Standard speeds approximately 128 kilobytes per second. No tethering. See T-Mobile.com for full feature terms and included destinations.
Thanks for listening to the Wall Street Journal This Morning. For more, follow the Wall Street Journal This Morning on Facebook and Twitter, and now on TuneIn.